This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Del Wilkes.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Zelina is no longer a vagabond. Bronson Reed drops the title, so is he on the move? And we remember a fallen patriot. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the best way to cap off your week. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. We are Canada's wrestling radio show and powered by Great Lakes Brewery. My name is Jason Agnew, and tonight we'll take a look back at the week in wrestling news and be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about how and why Thea Trinidad made her way back to WWE and what that could mean for the fate of Tommy End, a.k.a. Aleister Black. Then, as Dynamite returned to its regular spot on Wednesday nights with a hot show, I'll welcome on one half of our All Elite Weekly Tag Team of hosts, Joe Aguinaldo, will join me to discuss Young Blood and the main event of AEW and an upcoming tag team street fight on this week's Dynamite. And since it's July 4th, get ready for an all-American edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. Remember, if you're listening to the show on the radio right now or via the free podcast, get into a daily fix of wrestling news and views. We do podcasts each and every day. Become a part of the Sunday Night's Main Event community at patreon.com/SNMEradio. That's what's on tap, so let's kick it off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Unfortunately, we start this week with sad news. Del Wilkes, best known to wrestling fans as the Patriot, passed away Thursday due to what is described as a massive heart attack. He had been retired from wrestling since 1997 and moved into car sales post-retirement. A former University of South Carolina offensive lineman, Wilkes' wrestling career began in 1988 after a failed attempt at making it in the NFL. He worked in AWA under both his real name and later The Trooper, a policeman character that would write tickets for his opponents. The gimmick of The Patriot started in global wrestling in 1991, but he then headed overseas to work with All Japan Pro Wrestling. After a short stint, he came back stateside to work in WCW in 1994 and 95, holding the tag team titles with Marcus Alexander Bagwell. He then returned to All Japan for three more years before coming back to the WWF to oppose Bret Hart's anti-American character as part of another short run. Wilkes' post-wrestling career included a painkiller addiction and 9 months in prison for forging a prescription. Wilkes said he had used both steroids and cocaine during both his college football career and pro wrestling career. Del Wilkes was 59 years old. Samoa Joe talked to Ryan Satin about his WWE release, his return, and his new role in NXT. When asked if he was planning on an in-ring return, he made it clear that he is, saying, quote, absolutely, we'll just say yes, we'll leave it at that. Talking to the New York Post, Triple H said, the plan for Joe to work behind the scenes for NXT was something that was being talked about prior to Joe being released on April 15th. Of this year. Triple H said, this was actually something talked about long ago and delayed due to the pandemic. So in regards to the release, Triple H gave a baseball analogy. There was an opportunity for him to transition, no different than you would say, well, he was released from this pitching contract and started managing the team to become a coach. It's a similar situation. So there you go. Couple notes about Joe. It was all in the works and expect him back in the ring, essentially. Following a Xia Li roundhouse kick on Tuesday's NXT, Mercedes Martinez was taken to the hospital for evaluation after the kick appeared to knock her out. We'll get an update on her condition with Dave Meltzer in the next segment. Also, in case you missed NXT, Bronson Reed lost his North American title to Isaiah Swerve Scott. Looks like the big man is about to be moved to another brand. In this week's Dark Matches report, Toni Storm joined Karrion Kross and Shotzi Blackheart in Dark Matches before SmackDown. Also on the card, Odyssey Jones, real name Omari Palmer, faced Robert Roode in a singles match. He's a former football player for Syracuse University who was signed by WWE in 2019. WWE filed a trademark for Nikki Ash on June 25th, a term Nikki Cross used on Raw this past week to describe herself as an almost a superhero. They also filed the trademark for Happy Corbin. Yeah, Happy Corbin. So if you're wondering why Corbin is being bullied by SmackDown by Rick Boogs, this may be where it is leading. Happy Corbin. Hooray! Bartender Dave will join me next week, and I'm sure that will come up. Bea Priestley has officially joined NXT UK following a teaser that aired on last week's show. It was confirmed on this Thursday's NXT UK episode that Priestley has signed with WWE. She's now using Blair Davenport as her ring name. Fightful reported Tuesday that Sanjay Dutt is no longer with WWE as a producer, choosing to leave on his own terms. He had been working with WWE since January of 2019. Now, Meltzer said that Dutt left the company 2 weeks ago. Oh, by the way, and on Wednesday, he was already working for AEW as a backstage producer. I guess those were his own terms. This past week's AEW Dynamite averaged 883,000 viewers on TNT. That is up 36.1% from their last Saturday episode. But a fairer comparison might be that it was up 7.6% from the last time Dynamite aired on Wednesday, which was all the way back on May 19th. Now, in case you're wondering what happened to the end of the Vicky Nia Britton Rebel match on Dynamite this week, Rebel actually dislocated her kneecap in the match. However, Fightful Select reported that Rebel's back on her feet, and I guess it's a good thing she already has a crutch. CJ Perry, the former Lana in WWE, talked to Chris Jericho on his podcast about her WWE tenure, getting released, and what she hopes her future holds. She said she was completely blindsided by getting the call from John Laurinaitis and thought it was about an outside TV project WWE had just given approval to. She got the call when a lot of her family was at her house and said her heart dropped at the news, but she was also relieved. CJ dished out some pretty meaty details about WWE booking, and you can hear them all on the Talk Is Jericho podcast. Steve Austin will interview Kevin Nash on the next episode of the Broken Skull Sessions. WWE Network News reported on Friday that a new Broken Skull Sessions episode with Nash as the guest will premiere on Sunday, July the 11th. On the latest Oral Sessions with Renee Paquette, the former Iconics Cassie Lee, that's Peyton Royce, and Jessica McKay, that's Billie Kay, noted that both are unable to currently work due to ongoing green card issues. Impact Wrestling has announced that they will welcome fans back following their Slammiversary show. The tapings are being held at Skyway Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, on Sunday, July 18 and Monday, July 19. Seth Rollins became Mr. Becky Lynch on Tuesday. The couple got married. Congrats to them, I guess. Also, Ronda Rousey announced that her and Travis Brown are expecting a baby girl. Ronda is due in September. Coincidentally, Vince McMahon already put plans in place for the baby to turn heel and strangle mom with the umbilical cord at birth, leading to a match at November Survivor Series. The baby's also booked to win the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble. And that does it for this week in wrestling news. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Dave Meltzer will take a deeper dive, probably not into the Rousey booking that I just put in place, but, you know, everything else. Zelina Vega, we'll talk the Patriots' career and all of that good stuff. It's Sunday night's main event, and you're listening to it across the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Taking a deeper dive into the news of the week, Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, joins us for our weekly check-in. And Dave, sad news to kick things off today. Del Wilkes, known to WWE fans as the Patriot, passed away this past week. Someone that I remember, of course, from his WWF stint with Bret Hart. But what I didn't know is the idea behind the Patriot actually came from Jerry Lawler?
A lot of people didn't know the story because it was kind of like a minor thing in one of the wrestling magazines, I would say in 71 and 72. And Jerry Lawler, and this is another thing that people don't know about the Jerry Lawler story. So Jerry Lawler had started wrestling by this point, but he was not a wrestling star. He was just like an independent guy. He was basically an independent guy. And I think he had maybe started with Gulas. I think he started with Gulas and he was just a guy on the card because he really got his big push in like 72, 73 and hit it huge in 74. So he was just like a preliminary wrestler who was an artist. You know, everyone knows the stories about Jerry Lawler and his artist stuff. So Wrestling Monthly magazine, which was probably the best magazine at the time. It was like the most honest, and it wasn't like the After magazines. It was not sensationalistic stuff. But they had a cartoon that he drew called The Patriot. And the Patriot in that cartoon, you know, he wore the exact outfit that Del Wilkes wore. He had the exact same body. It was tall. It was a tall, muscular guy. And in the Jerry Lawler cartoons, he was the super baby face of the time. And he would go and wrestle the different heels in his cartoon. He'd make cartoons every month. And it would be different heels. You know, the Sheik in Detroit, Blackjack Lanza in Chicago, you know, somebody like that. Maybe he would tag team with the Bruiser in Indianapolis or tag team with Bruno in the Northeast. But it was just he would draw these cartoons of, you know, matches and feuds. And the Patriot always won, of course. And not that many years later, Bobby Hart in Tennessee did the Patriot gimmick. You know, because probably Lawler had influence by then and put it into, and there were other Patriots, but none really ever made it. And then Del Wilkes, I'm sure that Joe Pedicino, I'm going to guess, in Global, had, you know, he was older than me, so he probably grew up reading those magazines, and he had the idea. And Del Wilkes comes along, who is tall and has a great body, and so it kind of like fit, and he put him in that Patriot costume. So it was Pedicino where he did it first. And in those days, they didn't trademark gimmicks. So he took that gimmick to Japan. He took that gimmick to WCW. And then at the end in WWF. Unfortunately, what cost him his career was repeated tricep tears and drug problems. Mm-hmm. Because he did not have a long career. He was I would not call him a great wrestler, but I would call him a good wrestler who could hang and be programmed against great wrestlers. The gimmick was good. I mean, it was definitely a memorable gimmick. It was probably a gimmick that would have worked great on indies if he could have continued wrestling. And he ended up selling the gimmick to Tom Brandy, who was the Patriot, you know, for years and years and years on Northeast Indies because Dell was, you know, out of the business by then. He had too many injuries and terrible drug problems. I mean, it was like his painkiller issues were among the worst ever in a weird way because it was like there were guys in that period in the 90s and everything, like the painkiller issues, but you knew about them and they would like, you know, fall. You heard the stories falling asleep in their food, passing out and all this. And Dell, whatever reason, I mean, I remember people telling me like he was always professional. He would tell people he was taking 100 pills a day, which everybody thought is like, he's got to be exaggerating because he was never unprofessional. He was never one of those guys, but he absolutely had the problem because He was arrested multiple times for forging prescriptions. He had 20 arrests over a period of like 5-6 years, and they were all for, you know, forging prescriptions for painkillers.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know it got that bad, and did not know about that tidbit about the Patriot gimmick as well.
He did later in life clean up, and he was actually doing right wing podcasts.
Yep. That I did know. Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, let's go to what happened on SmackDown this week. A surprising return for Zelina Vega and being thrown into the Money in the Bank match. So first of all, let's talk about the return itself and what went on. We had actually discussed it before that there was the possibility of her returning. What does this mean for her, her career, the OnlyFans, the stuff outside that she's doing of WWE as well in order to make this comeback work?
I presume she's under the same rules as everybody else. And I don't know exactly, I have not heard that anything's been modified as far as the rules go. They gutted the division originally that was going to be handling these third-party bookings. So then some people thought, well, maybe they've dropped the idea. But now I hear they're trying to bring in new people to run the division. It's, you know, it's Nick Khan people as opposed to, you know, the people that were there before. So... I mean, it was kind of known she was coming back. So that's not really, I don't think that was a surprise. It was just a question of when. I think some people, you know, it was a big furor, I guess, yesterday, you know, in the sense that people thought, you know, you're standing up for the union and this and that. But, I mean, the fact is, we talked about it. It had to be like a month ago at least when we pretty much knew, you know, it was pretty much assumed she was coming back.
So the question is then, what does this mean for her husband, Aleister Black? I mean, to me, it would say that this, if the wife is going there, then I would think that he returns as well, because that rumor's been out there.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. I mean, he was real close with AEW whenever I wrote about this, so that feels like maybe 6 weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
He was real close. But WWE did want him back and then made the deal with her. So it's like, I don't know what that means for him. It could go either way. But I've heard that they are interested in having him back, that they felt, you know, it's one of those things that cut a bunch of guys and then, you know, like Samoa Joe, and then somebody in a different side of the company goes, why'd we ever do this? You know, well, as we were saying the same thing, right? Why would they do this? And so... you know, the other side of the company goes, why'd we do this? And wants to rehire him. So it's hard to understand why these guys get cut, because you would think that both sides of the company should kind of like know what's going on and kind of like when the cuts come, like have an idea of who it is and be in enough agreement that you don't fire somebody and then go, why did we fire him? We need to hire him back.
Flipping over to AEW, Dave, the ratings bounced back on Wednesday, even higher than when they left. I know they had a great card, but I have to say, I was a little surprised that everyone came back and even more so joined on in this week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't have all the information, but I do know that the Sammy Guevara-MJF match is huge, so that tells me that was probably the big draw on the show. But yeah, I was surprised. Not so much, like, if it was a normal Wednesday, that number, I would have gone, okay, you know, that's about where it should be. But they were against NBA playoffs, NHL finals, and College Baseball World Series, three big events. I mean, that was one of the tougher nights of competition. It's tougher than what Raw and SmackDown have been going against. And Raw and SmackDown have been doing, you know, low numbers most weeks, as has AEW has been doing low numbers, too, because of the unfamiliar night. I mean, so, I figure it will, you know, even out probably at this level or higher in a month, or, you know, whenever they're, you know, they're not going against the playoffs. But for that night, yeah, I was surprised. And also the Saturday number also was very good with, you know, the MJ, but it was Kenny Omega and Jungle Boy. That one I think should have done well. Whereas the Wednesday, I usually in this situation, when you're gone from a time slot for even 2 weeks, let alone five,
yeah,
it usually takes about 3 weeks to get your number back to normal. But they did have, the end of the day is that they had a match, and probably more than one, but that match and maybe the Young Bucks match as well. But they had matches that people wanted to see, and when you have that, if you have matches people want to see, you know, you will be able to compete with, you know, big sports events. When you have just a normal show, people will choose the big sports event over you.
But also, consider this, Dave, and it's something that we definitely don't see in WWE. Last week, it's Jungle Boy, yes, with Kenny Omega. But this week, it's on their own, Sammy Guevara and MJF main eventing. Here's two guys in their early 20s main eventing. That in itself, and drawing, that in itself is saying something.
You can put anyone in a TV main event. And usually, the thing is with AEW and with WWE and with everyone, for the most part, you know, in the old days of wrestling, you would peak at the main event, and now you usually don't. And so to peak in the main event, I mean, even like when Kenny Omega wrestled Moxley, and they did that great number, the fact is that they didn't peak at the main event. The main event did about what everything else did, but there were spots on the show, like Sting's arrival and everything, that did better. This one, when you're peaking with the main event, and it's, like you said, it's not Chris Jericho, and it's not Cody Rhodes, and it's not even Kenny Omega. You know, it's like you're peaking with Sammy Guevara and MJF. And the one thing about it is that, you know, what it speaks is that, you know, they started this feud months ago. And, you know, I actually thought that they should have had the match a long time ago, but they waited and waited. And even though, like, it was really strong heat, I would say, what was, like, 3 months ago or so, it's like I think that between the stadium stampede and some of the fallout angles and everything, whatever it was on that night, people really want to see that match. And they had a fantastic match. I thought MJF should have won. I mean, Sammy should have won, but I mean, I'm sure that they have their ways, and I know why they did it, you know, because MJF and Jericho is going to be the next direction. And so I can get why they did it. But I really thought that both Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara, this last week on the TV, did good in the sense that, you know, not just they had good matches and main events, but they both drew, and they both drew young viewers. And they're not, like, as you said, I mean, these are, you know, MJF and Jungle Boy are, like, you know, early 20s, mid-20s, and Sammy's actually a little older, but not much. And, yeah, they're building a future. They really are.
They are. Dave, in the future of The Observer, what can people look forward to this week?
That's real interesting because I guess we're going to find out, obviously more stuff when it comes to Money in the Bank and, you know, what they're going to do. And I think a little more, you know, hopefully we'll know, you know, the first real big AEW show with crowds is Wednesday night. And so that I expect them to do a loaded show, and it's going to be very interesting because it's not the pay-per-view crowd like they had in Jacksonville for the for the last pay-per-view. This is going to be a local crowd, and it's really the first chance we've seen for either company where you see a non-fly-in crowd and how they react and who's over. You know,
right,
I mean, we're
right.
Really going to see like who's over, who's building, who's not over. So Wednesday's going to be a very interesting night, and then like with WWE, we're a couple weeks away from the same thing, and you know, it's like finally kind of where we're going to have wrestling again, the way it used to be. We've always had wrestling, but we're going to have it the way it used to be with some, you know, good sized crowds. I mean, AEW in Austin is sold out. WWE's pay per view is very close to sold out. The Houston show may not sell the building out, but they're going to be well over 10,000 people there, the first SmackDown in Houston on the 16th. So there's a lot of stuff where we're going to have some really good atmosphere coming up.
All right. We'll look forward to your coverage of that, and we'll talk to you next week at this same time. Dave, thanks so much.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his work. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Turnbuckle Trivia, July 4th edition is next. Some retribution. We'll see. Maybe. Sunday night's main event is what you're listening to on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time on Sunday night's main event, and this week... Retribution is what we should really call this match. If it was a pay-per-view, we'd call it Retribution, and we do so for James from New Jersey. James, I felt terrible for you last week when you came in and you had to play a Canadian version of Turnbuckle Trivia. I felt you got screwed, and I know we broadcast in Montreal, but I didn't want it to be the Montreal screw job. So James, you're playing again, and it's July 4th. So how do you feel about that?
This is my Retribution Day.
We'll see how you do. Now, you're playing against savvy veteran Rodney. Rodney, you live in Welland, which means you're very close to the American border.
That is correct, Jay.
All right. Well, we're keeping it wrestling-oriented, but we are celebrating July the 4th, so get ready for some good old Americana. James versus Rodney. The winner, of course, gets a T-shirt from ballergear.ca. Be sure to check out our new Roman Reigns-inspired Sunday Night's Main Event T-shirts. Here we go. James, your player won this week, and your first question is as follows. It was on this day in 1993 that Lex Luger arrived by helicopter onto the USS Intrepid to body slam whom?
Yokozuna.
Yokozuna, correct answer. Rodney, we'll start you off with an easy one as well. Luger would then go from a boat to a bus and travel across the country to prepare for SummerSlam. What was this tour called, Rodney?
Oh, I have no idea. The Lex Luger Express?
Well, Rodney, I mean, you put Luger in there. It was so much called the Lex Express. You put, it's the Lex Express. I cannot give you that one because you threw Luger in there. You were so close, but not quite. Okay. James, to you. Who made up the tag team known as the U.S. Express in WWF?
I have no idea.
Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, and I could tell that Rodney knew that answer, but I'm sure James knew Lex Express. So Rodney, here's one for you. Let's keep it old school. Who was known as Mr. USA in WWF?
I have no idea.
Really? Tony Atlas, Mr. USA. James, back to you. The American Dream was, of course, Dusty Rhodes, but what was his real name?
Virgil Runnels.
Very good, James. All right, Rodney, to you. Sergeant Slaughter was an American patriot. What is his real name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Robert Remus is his name. All right, now, James, if you get this, this is a pretty convincing victory because you got Rodney with three already. Del Wilkes passed away this week. He was known as the Patriot in WWE. After he was released from WWE, who got his theme music?
Would that be Kurt Angle?
It would be Kurt Angle. Yes, it was. It was slightly modified, but Kurt got the Patriots theme music. And with that, it is Redemption Day for James. Congratulations. Rodney, thanks for playing the game, but unfortunately, that the Lex Luger Express couldn't get you into the game. But thank you, pal. We'll have you back on very soon.
All right, thanks, Jay.
James, you've got a T-shirt coming your way. I will get in touch with you shortly, my friend. Thanks for playing.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thanks, Rodney.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you both soon. And hey, here is the deal. We are almost at the end of this run of Turnbuckle Trivia. If you want to play, then please sign up. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. I'm looking for new players at the $6 Turnbuckle Trivia level. I'll put new people first, but it's time for another round. Look for the Patreon message in your inbox. I'm looking for new players now. Not even new players. It's just another round, so you can do it all again and get a new T-shirt from ballergear.ca. Newbies, sign up now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio and let's get back into it. A whole bunch more turnbuckle trivia is to come in future weeks, one of our signatures on Sunday night's main event. We're going to take a break. Come on back. Joe Aguinaldo, one of our hosts of All Elite Weekly, joins me next to chat about what we watched this week in the world of wrestling. You're listening to Sunday night's main event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth Ranson.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Now, in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to take out all your transgressions on that cute little protege of yours, Sammy Guevara. Sammy! You freaking hack. Hey, buddy. You know, a lot of people have been wanting to see this matchup for a long, long time. And it's because the wrestling fans around the world want to know, who is the future of professional wrestling? And Samuel, as much as it pains me to admit it, after tonight's main event is over, I think they're going to say that you're the future. Because I'm the now! And after I embarrass you live on TNT, I want you to go to your vlog and tell all the Sammy Simps that I'm better than you. And you know it.
Nobody does it better.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. Joining me now, let's talk some AEW with one of our hosts of the All Elite Weekly podcast, available to patrons each week on our SNME Radio Patreon. Joe Aguinaldo is here. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Jason Agnew.
Joe, I feel as though it's a good week to have you on. We had quite the dynamite. So it was returned to Wednesday night, and ratings popped right back, even higher than where they were, which very much surprised me. But along with that, AEW dished out a really solid show. And I want to start at the end and move our way back. The
All right.
video package, Joe. The video package at the end of Dynamite this week that showed everything that this company has gone through during the pandemic. You know, we've been following it right on through. Remove yourself from all the time that we've spent and just watching that. Man, it looks like a great time for this company in the world of wrestling in the midst of a pandemic. A lot of stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I was watching it, it was weird. It felt like it didn't feel like it had only been whatever it was, a year and a half.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, like the Brody Lee stuff and yeah. the Mimosa thing, and it was like the street fight with Best Friends and Santana Ortiz, which by the way was like one of my matches of the year during one of our best of shows. So I was like, wow, like this company's done quite a bit at Daly's Place. Like it really struck me when I saw that package.
You know, you think about it, and this is something that for a young company that is still working on their fan base, yes, the hardcores are there, but this had all the reason to halt them in their tracks. And yet, despite all of this, ratings are good. The organization itself looks like it's flourishing. They're grabbing a lot of talent. I mean, just think about this. In the midst of the pandemic, AEW, you can say this is good or this is bad. They have debuted Matt Hardy, Christian, Big Show, Mark Henry, FDR, all happened during the pandemic. Now, I know originally we said maybe you hold off on some of these, but you can't hold off for a year and a half. And this montage just made it look like this was a great time in the world of wrestling. And it made me think, Joe, if this had been a WWE pandemic montage, What would that have looked like?
Let's see.
Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns winning?
I was about to say Bobby Lashley versus Drew. or the Hurt Business versus the New Day. You know what I mean? Like, there were a lot. Like, look, again, just, you know, due respect to WWE, a lot of the stuff, and I've said this, like, I've been saying this for a while, and I think you guys have been too. Like, a lot of this stuff we're seeing, like, 2-3 weeks in a row. And again, like, let's take Xavier Woods versus, you know, Riddle. Great match. I don't need to see it 3 weeks in a row. You know, Apollo Crews versus Big E. You know, there was that Shelton Benjamin versus Cedric Alexander. 2 weeks in a row, exact same finish. Rake the eye, get a pin. You know what I mean?
I mean, you're missing the biggest example, and that's Humberto Carrillo repeatedly having the crap beat out of him by Sheamus just on repeat. Yeah, but you're for sure right. The repetitive nature of what's going on in WWE is, it's just a joke at this point.
Yeah, and it's just like I'm speaking just for myself. Like, I mean, yes, I follow wrestling because I've been following wrestling since like 1977. But I will admit that, like, from a WWE perspective, at least Raw and SmackDown anyways, I'm getting to the point where I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's much easier for me now to turn the channel. Not even like, and I know a lot of people watch it on the, like, on the back end on highlights and stuff. Even that doesn't interest me anymore. Like, I'll read, like, you know, Meltzer's websites to get the results, but that's about it. Like, unless something really, really big comes up, I'm not really interested anymore. And that's a dangerous place for any fan, or for, you know, WWE to be with any fan. Right. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, you're taking out someone who is literally, wait a minute, we go, like, we're what, 30 something years of watching wrestling, and you're not interested anymore. That's 40 years of wrestling.
Yep, it'll be 48 in 51. Yeah, it'll be 44 years on August 26th.
and they have managed to turn you off. That's crazy. Now, I will say, Joe, you know, we've heard a lot recently about dark matches happening and people popping in, and there should be some juggle happening with NXT and the so-called main roster. Does anyone interest you? Because we're looking at Karrion Kross, perhaps. We're looking at Shotzi Blackheart, one of your faves there moving over. Maybe Bronson Reed, who lost the title this week. I mean, does anything there entice you to dive back in?
The problem is, it's not, like, Bronson Reed, for example, I really like. But it's what happens when they get to the main roster. Yeah. That's always the question, right? Like, I'll use the really easy example of Nikki Cross, Sanity. She was great NXT.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's, you know, a superhero. Or, sorry, almost a superhero, or whatever her gimmick is, right?
Yep.
And look, I don't mind it right now, but it just bothers me that, you know, you had this really hot act coming into the main roster, and then all of a sudden it's like, where'd they go? And I'm afraid that Bronson Reed, that's going to happen to Bronson Reed, like, you know, Karrion Kross, like, again, I'm not the biggest fan of Karrion Kross, and I think that's a guy that they're going to try to push. But, like, ultimately, in watching him after his entrance, I'm not really interested. And, you know, like, where it really kind of cemented it, you know, because I've been on the fence with the dude, okay? But what really cemented it for me was, it was one of the NXT takeovers where they had that five-person match.
Yes, the one that he should have lost the title and would have made everything easier to get him off the brand. Yep.
The match was amazing
until
he got into the ring. And then after that, it just kind of dropped a bit. And then when he got kicked out, it would be like ramp right back up. And I'm like, ooh, that's not a good thing.
I mean, I'm going to give him a pass on that one. He surprised me in that match. Everyone surprised me in that match. Or not everyone surprised me, but I really, really enjoyed that match. And what surprised me was that it was a five-man match. And how often are those great? Normally, they're a bit of a mess. So I did enjoy that much, but I know what you mean. I mean, he's being pushed and pushed and will be pushed and pushed, and we'll see what happens. Now, with Bronson Reed, though, Joe, let me throw this at you. Bronson and Otis, Natural Disasters 2.0.
Oof. I mean, look, again,
no, it's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea, Joe. You were supposed to scoff at me for that.
No, I on like here's the thing. I have no problems with any of these people coming up. Even Shotzi, you know, I love Shotzi, right?
But I know you do.
My issue is it comes back to what are they going to do with them when they get up to the main roster? Because that's always the problem. And like this is why when you tell me like Cross is coming up, Shotzi's coming up, potentially Bronson Reed, all these people are coming up. It's like it's great conceptually. Let me see the execution before I give it a pass.
All right. Well, let's talk about your specialty, Joe, and that is AEW. I mean, the ratings were great this week, coming out of just a complete mishmash of Friday and a Saturday night thrown into the mix, but they really did a great job in bookending this show. A hot start here. We had Eddie Kingston and Penta beating the Young Bucks in a non-title match. I can't remember the last time the Young Bucks lost, and in a traditional booking sense, this makes sense. The challengers win a non-title match. Next week, they get the championship shot. And along with that, a stipulation has been added to this. Just the other day, Tony Khan said that this match will now be a street fight. You just mentioned how much you love the street fight with the best friends and Santana and Ortiz. Well, we get another one of these. Do you think this can live up to that? And is it the right idea to already put this stipulation on this match?
I would have held off on this stipulation because you don't need it for these two teams. I think that's what it comes down. I mean, look, it'll probably be pretty good. It'll probably be insanely over the top. That said though, I didn't think it needed it, but you know, let's see what that looks like. Cause I really, really like this match, you know, on Dynamite. And, you know, one of the things that Dan and I spoke about during the All Elite Weekly podcast, where we were like, ooh, we can't wait to see the second match, knowing that they're going to have one. So I assume, though, that they are going to try to outdo what they did last week. So I do expect this match to be, you know, pretty nuts. And you know what? I guess the good news is if you're going to have a street fight, then that sort of takes away the whole issue with the referees, you know, like, right. And, you know, not having like it protects the refs. And that way these guys can go completely nuts and, you know, do all these crazy stunts and not have to worry about like, you know, five counts and people complaining about referees and stuff. So from that end, I'm looking forward to the match. I think it'll be good. And I agree with you. I don't think Eddie Kingston or Penta win this either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, by putting it into the street fight format, you have the ability to get, you know, Gallows and Anderson to come in here.
Yes.
And,
yep.
And that'll be your interference and that'll be the win for the Bucks, which, you know, is going to make sense. So I don't have a problem with that either. All right. The main event, Sammy Guevara and MJF, you know, it's a future stars are now match, letting these two main event. I thought the promos leading into this were awesome. In particular, MJF, that's a broken record saying that, but saying, Sammy, you are the star of the future because I am the star right now. I thought it was a great line. It both pushed how great Sammy is, but also how much better MJF was. I just thought it was a really nice touch. Good match. A finish that made sense here to me, Joe. It's as easy as the bad guys won because they cheated and there's strength in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And like coming back to, first of all, to the MJF promo, I also like that line of you're the future because I'm the now.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I did like about the match was like Sammy got a ton of offense in the match, but MJF made him look good, but ultimately gets the win. Perfect. The other thing too, and you kind of touched on it, like the future stars match, like I same thing where it's like, this isn't just a Pinnacle versus Inner Circle, you know, match, feud. It's a 3 years down the line. Remember when Sammy and MJF were in the Pinnacle and Inner Circle? Remember when they were fighting and now they're fighting for, let's say, the AEW championship or the TNT championship or something like that. So I really, really dig that. You know, and when you add on the stuff that they've been doing with Darby Allin, the stuff that they've been doing with Jungle Boy,
yeah.
Like what I really like about this whole entire situation is you're having main events with people that are under 20.
Under 20. Last thing here, Joe, before we go, let's talk about the way the Rebel injury was handled this week. I read about it in the news pack already. Rebel dislocated her knee. I just want to give a real kudos to everyone in that match. First of all, Vicky should never wrestle. That's dumb. Rebel should probably not be wrestling either. However, All of that aside, the way they managed to work around the dislocated kneecap from Rebel was excellent. Vicky comes in, Nyla goes to the top, Britt kicks Vicky into Nyla, Britt pins Vicky. I thought it was all really nicely done, and it was three people working together to figure out what to do when the match was obviously thrown off by an injured party. So kudos to all the women in this match.
Yeah, and it's like I hadn't, like obviously I didn't know about it till after the fact, and both Dan and I, like we weren't necessarily, like during the All Elite Weekly show, we weren't necessarily looking forward to this match, but it was better than we expected, mainly because, you know, because we didn't think Vicky would be that good. But yeah, like once you know about that injury, then I watched it back again. I was like, wow, like really well done. Well done by Vicky and Nyla and Britt to get through that.
So Joe has mentioned the All Elite Weekly podcast. It is weekly, and it's about All Elite, as convenient as that is, available to subscribers on our Patreon. Please sign up if you're listening right now on either the freebie feed on the podcast or terrestrial radio. Find Joe and the Mouth each week talking AEW Dynamite. Sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And if you sign up, you'll get more of me and Joe right now. We are going to do a whole nother segment for subscribers. But to those of you listening on the regular pod or via the radio, we've got to say goodbye for this week. We'll be back here same time, same place on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.